The Troy Murphy Show, 7pm Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
When you think about doing the same job for 50 years, you're probably thinking, oh, what a drag. But when you're iconic and you're a beloved Australian singer, say, I don't know, like Marsha Hines, who has had a career that has spanned for 5 decades, you think, Aussie legend, and thank goodness she's been doing it for 50 years. Oh, and speaking of said Aussie legend, the one and only Marsha Hines is on the phone with us right now. Marsha, welcome to the show.
Hey, Troy, how you doing?
I'm very good, my friend. 50 years, cool. Marsha. Oh, my goodness. And still releasing music. How do you do it?
Yeah, sure. You know, I mean, I've got to be honest. It's really, it feels pretty special to still be relevant. But I don't see the 50 years. I mean, my calendar is my daughter, and she's 53 this year. But it's just one of those things. I don't really remember all the years. I remember some of them, but, you know, I don't sit here, you know, twiddling my thumbs thinking, oh, okay, so that's when you're gone. That's another case. It's not quite like that, you know. But, yeah, it's been a joy. It's been a ride, you know, cool ride.
And we've loved seeing everything you do from music to stage to TV. Looking back, what would be some of the key highlights or moments that really stand out for you?
Well, you know, I don't want to sound repetitive, but this is the answer I give. I always say, well, the first really big thing was winning Queen of Pop, because Troy, when I won it, I was not a citizen. I was just a resident of Australia.
Yeah.
I had already adopted Australia as my home. But when I won that accolade, I realized Australia had adopted me, and that felt pretty special.
You are our Queen of Pop, and you are one of us.
You
are one of us.
Thank you.
And with your new album coming out, Still Shining, it's going to feature 20 career-defining tracks. I'm reading straight off the press release here, including two new songs. Can you tell me about the process of selecting the songs that you want to put on this new album and how they represent different aspects of your career?
Well, you know, like that's my life, you know, the recording side of things, you know, and I've had some really great producers and writers I've had the pleasure of working with. And so I just chose songs that I think are really relevant to my career. Now, you do all you can, but somebody's going to say to me, why didn't you put blah, 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 blah on the album? Because it's one album.
Yeah.
And, you know, perhaps next year.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, so we chose, well, it was between my manager and myself, and we had big old chats about it. And he's a real brain, and he'd sit down and write lists of songs and say, what do you think of this and what do you think? And I'd say, yes, so maybe no, we shouldn't use that one. But, you know, the live shows, it's a big thing, Troy. That's all I'm going to say. It's a big thing. Because there's lots and lots of songs in the repertoire.
Yeah, I want to get to that. But I want to talk about your singing. Well, I said in the opener, you are iconic, you are a legend. You have a vocal range that is incredible. Now, how do you maintain your voice, and how have you maintained it and nurtured it over the years?
Well, okay, so I don't smoke and I don't drink, and I'm quite boring, really. I'm a pescatarian. I kind of try and take care of myself. I try and stay relatively fit. And when I was a kid in Boston, I won a scholarship for opera at the New England Conservatory. And so they taught me how important it was to take care of the pipes and how important it is to do warm-up. So whenever I do a show, I'll do a half hour to a 45-minute warm-up before I go on stage, just so I kind of know where my voice is placed. And, you know, and my thing is sleeping, Trey. I like sleeping. And that's how you got to be quiet or be a sleeper to try and keep your voice, you know, because you can't be in loud clubs or loud restaurants screaming over the noise that is, you know, the normal noise for a restaurant. So if people are talking to me in a restaurant, I tend to nod a lot, you know, and shake my head, but I won't scream over it, you know, because you just can't. But you just have to rest a lot, you know, but because I'm not able to plug in my instrument. I am the instrument, so I have to rest it when I can.
Yeah, yeah, it's Can relate to that, being behind a microphone.
Yeah. Okay. Now, you know, you're feeling me, right? Yeah.
I'm feeling you. Yeah. And something else, Marcia, like I thought, you know, thinking on the fly, I don't want this to be an interview like any other that you're doing, because I'm sure each interview that you do is much the same sort of questions. Let's do something a little bit different. I want to talk about Australian Idol in a second. But first, Marcia, we have something in common. We're both type 1 diabetics. How's the diabetes going?
Well, the diabetes is going okay, man. You know, like some days a diamond, some days a stone, okay? some days you got a handle on it and some days you haven't. But it's a very unpredictable disease, but I actually am okay with it because it could be worse. Yeah. There you go. And yeah. Note, when I became a diabetic, I didn't know what was going on, and I had a procedure done in my mouth with a tooth, and it just didn't heal. Anyway, a friend of mine who did work in the hospital came to see me and said, "How you doing?" And I said, "I'm fine, I'm doing okay." He said, "Squeeze my hand." And supposedly I didn't. I thought I squeezed. He said, "We're going to the hospital, you know." Oh, and man. I had become dehydrated. Yeah. So we got there, and there was a girl, and I kid you not, you know, life is fascinating. There was a girl, and I was in a room with this girl, and she was yellow with jaundice, and she'd had a transplant that hadn't worked, and she was hoping to get another one. And she looked at me and said, "You know, you and I could really be sick, couldn't we?" Right? Now, since then, she's passed away.
Oh, no.
Okay? Yes, man. And that was she was like an angel. I'm thinking, God, you're yellow and I'm fine here. You know what I mean? You really are sick. And you look at me and say, "You know, we could really be sick, couldn't we?"
Wow.
That was my epiphany, you know? So like I said, you know, it can always be worse and this is manageable, but it's manageable. And you just have to make sure that you're around good doctors, you know, that's the most important thing.
And as long as you're well and looking after yourself, Marcia, that's the key. Yeah.
Yeah. You know it, Troy. That's the truth of the matter, you know. You just have to look after yourself because after all, you are responsible for you.
Exactly. Now, Marcia, let's jump on the Australian Idol bandwagon. How could we forget? And I've got questions, Marcia. I've got so many questions.
I bet you have.
And firstly, do you think what you and the gang got away with on TV, more so the others, you were always the kind one, and do you think you could get away with what you got away with on TV back then, now, in
perhaps
today's climate?
Well, perhaps not them, but yeah, me, because, you know, I don't plan on changing, and I believe I'm doing it again this year.
Oh,
and
wow.
I don't plan on I don't plan on changing, Troy, you know, like, and every once in a while, the powers that be would say, I said, "You hired me, right? You hired me, and that's who I'm going to be." And my manager, Peter, kept saying to me every year, you know, because we did it for 7 years, Troy, he'd say, "The most important thing, Marcia, just be yourself."
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know if you're aware of this, but Mark Holden is now a lawyer.
Yep.
A practicing lawyer. I don't know who. And so he's actually a practicing lawyer, solicitor in Melbourne. And wow. I've not been around. I've not seen Dicko around, but he pops up every once in a while. And, you know, like, we had no idea, Troy. We had no idea that the show was going to take off the way it did. You know, you hope for the best when you're introducing a new show into the public. But I have a friend who just recently passed away. His name is Brian Walsh, who used to run Fox. And I have a great bunch of people. It's not just me. I have a lot of people around me suggesting things and, you know, saying yes or no. And I remember Brian approached my manager and I and said, "You know, there's an incredible show about to come to Australia. And the show in America is called American Idol. The show here is going to be called Australian Idol. If Marcia gets approached to do it, it'll be a great thing for her career."
Yeah.
You know? I mean, and once again, that man was so good to me. Brian Walsh was just such a wonderful human being in my life. And it was a great thing because Trey introduced me to a younger audience. You know, yeah. I did a gig the other night and there were three girls in the front row. And I'd say the oldest one would have been 12 and then about maybe 10 and 9.
Wow.
And I thought, this is great. You know what I mean? And so I don't know if their parents have introduced me to them or they saw me on Idol this year. Yeah, this year that is just about to go. Or, you know, I don't know, but it's just wonderful. I mean, that to me is how I want my career to be. I want to be appealing to all ages.
It was iconic TV, very much iconic TV. Now, Marsha, I want to have a little bit of fun. I want you to take a moment and think back to your time back then on Idol. Was there anything that ever happened off camera that you've never really shared before that would raise a few eyebrows?
Eyebrows? Not really. I mean, I probably, when the guys dogged Paulini about her dress, I tore those guys to shreds backstage because I said, you guys are fathers. You know, it was more Deco than it was Mark. But I just said, you know, you can't do that. And not only that, we've got little girls and girls watching this show. And to body shame somebody, we didn't have that terminology back then, but to body shame somebody like that. And she thought she looked great. If she didn't think she looked great, she, you know, and is that what you really want to tell her about? Or how did she sing that night? You know, so I would talk to them. We'd have chats after the show. But I mean, but also, you know, to be honest, I really tend to stay to myself a bit as well. I'm a bit of a loner. So I, you know, when things were right, I'd say, okay, everything's right. But if something went wrong, or if ever I got a chance, I'd take one of the kids backstage and the camera crew would want to come into my dressing room and I'd say, no, this is off bounds. I want to say something to these kids that you don't need to hear.
Wow. See, that's stuff we never saw during the show.
No, you don't need to.
No. It makes it all different, though, I think. I think it
does. Yeah, but I mean, see, and if you saw that kind of stuff, you know what it would be? To me, it would just be like as good as a reality show that you see on TV. You're seeing enough reality just watching them try and cope, you know, and these kids had been tried, they'd been plucked out of obscurity. Oh. And placed into the houses of all of Australia, you know. I mean, when Australian Idol was on, no matter where I went, a pilot would speak to me. The lady who checked me out at the supermarket would speak to me. People who cleaned the apartments in the hotels would speak to me. Everybody was watching that. That show was big, man.
Oh,
you know, and I mean, and I'm used to stardom because I've been, you know, in the public eye since I was 16. So I'm used to it. But if you've never been, and not to that degree either, okay? Never to that degree. Never. Because those kids didn't know what stardom, at least I cut my teeth on stage and certain things. But those kids who just plucked from certain suburbs and certain parts of Australia and thrown into the laps of Australians.
Yeah. Which was huge and huge for the time. I remember it's got to be one of the last, in my recollection, so I'm projecting here a bit, one of the last sort of TV series that I know I would, and it could just be my age, but I know I sat down each night to watch on television itself, whereas that sort of culture is changed a little bit now, but it was very much iconic for the time.
It was incredibly iconic, but now there's so much to watch, Troy.
There's
too much. there's too much. I mean, I've got a television, and I flick, and end up turning it off.
and tuning into radio, Marsha. That's what you do.
Know it. Yeah. Babe, you need to know. No, I do. Radio is my company. And people, I like talkback too because people say stuff they would never say to your face. They say stuff, you know. Yeah, so, I mean, radio is my company. Yeah.
Marsha, your impact on the Australian music industry has been significant. You said before, and you earned the title Queen of Pop, you've been inducted into the ARIA Hall of Fame. How do you feel about the recognition and the influence you've had on future generations of artists here in Australia and abroad, really?
Well, I don't know that I've actually reflected upon that. You know, I don't know that I have. The strange thing about when you become famous is you look at other people and go, gee, aren't they doing well? But you don't really, you know, pat yourself on the back and go, aren't you bad? You know, you just don't. And for me, And that's because I've always had people, if they ever saw my feet leaving the ground, they yanked me back down. I had my mother and I had my manager and really good people around me. Nothing worse than someone who's sycophantic, you know? And I'm not good with sycophants. It makes me very uncomfortable.
And I think so, this is why you're an Aussie favorite, Marsha. You are so humble. Thank you.
Well, I mean, you know, I learned that I had a very, very fine upbringing. And when you've got a fine upbringing, even if you don't, you'll run into people who will bring you up because that's our job. You know, I look at young people and I think, well, they're our future, so it's important to represent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, Marsha, as you embark on your 50th anniversary concert tour, what can fans expect from your performance? And are there any particular songs or moments in the show that fans can look forward to or hold special significance for you?
Well, the song that's kind of blowing me out a bit at the moment is I stopped singing Shiny for like 20 years, 15, yep. 20 years, and I put it back into the repertoire. And it feels great to sing. I didn't like it because I'd gone through litigation with my record company and consequently I wasn't allowed to record for a certain amount of time. And, you know, and all those things, they stick, you know, it actually stuck. And I thought, no, I'll leave it. I knew I'd sing it again, but since we've started, we went into intense rehearsals recently and then we did our first two gigs last weekend and I sang it. And even when I did rehearsals, the guys said, oh, I said, is it really? Is it, you know, I don't know, but it's a good song to sing. Most of the songs that I've been able to record have been really nice songs. And I only sing what I believe. I can't sing a song, you know, that's trite. Yes. I shouldn't say that. But yeah, I try and sing what I believe or something maybe I've lived, you know?
Yeah. New music from Marsha Hines is out tomorrow, Friday the 7th of July. Which means I probably can't play it tonight on the radio, but most importantly for everyone across the Sutherland Shire, you just can't miss out on Marsha's Still Shining, the 50th anniversary concert tour for 2023, as it will be at the Sutherland Entertainment Centre, known now as The Pavilion, on July 29. Tickets available through The Pavilion website. Marsha, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. It has been an absolute honour and a pleasure.
Yeah, ditto. It's been really nice talking to you, man. You take care of yourself.
Never miss a show. Listen on demand. Click the Troy Murphy Show on the 2SSR.com.au homepage program guide.